Hi, it's Jim Bakey. This is BU, The World Will Adjust, a brutally honest podcast about people and business. So every week, I'm breaking down topics from the workplace, the job market, society, and culture to help you find success by simply being you. I release a new episode every Monday morning, so make sure you're following the podcast on your favorite app. You can also reach me on social media or by sending me an email. I always love to hear how this show is making an impact on people. I had dinner last night with some friends of mine, and we're talking about the economy and its state. And, you know, there's just so much confusion about so many different things. She sent me this little piece that someone had written in her firm. She's in an asset management firm. It says it's the most confusing economy many of us have ever seen. There's a labor shortage, yet tech companies are freezing hiring. There's an auto shortage, yet demand in China is creating car subsidies for consumers. There's a severe supply constraints amid bloated inventory at retailers and a food shortage during an obesity epidemic. It just doesn't seem to make sense. It's pushing and pulling up and down, sideways. And I know we've been on this theme about sort of clarity, but you know, sometimes there is no clarity, and sometimes we need to really retrench, and we need to stay back, you know, within ourselves and not get distracted. I know, God knows, I get distracted by so many different things. I think the more you read and the more you watch, the more distracted, the more outraged you get. And you know, some people have said to me, you know, Dad, you got a real, I guess some people, what if my kids, you know, you've got a real anger streak going these days. And it's not actually an anger streak. And it's interesting because this subject has sort of come up recently. When I do my podcast, there are certain things that I'm angry about. And I like to specify that I'm angry. But I think sometimes people misinterpret passion and strong feelings for anger. And I'm reminded of a story, particularly because I was with a client yesterday, and we were talking about somebody, and somebody said, you know, this guy came to me and wanted to talk about this person. And they said, you know, he does great work and he's really good at it, but I just don't like the way he delivers it. So I said, so why don't you tell him? He goes, why don't I tell him what? I said, why don't you tell him that I think you do really good work, but your delivery just doesn't hit it for me. He goes, no, I don't know if I can do that. I said, maybe he doesn't know that the way he's delivering it is pissing you off. Have you ever thought about that? He goes, no, I'm pretty sure he knows. I said, but do you know that he knows? And I was reminded of a story back early on when I was dating my wife, and I was going to give this massive speech, and we're at her offices, and she said, let's videotape it. And I said, okay. So we videotaped. I went through the speech and I said, what do you think? And she said, would you like a few comments? And I said, sure. And so I'm standing at the front, she's standing in the seat, and she gives me a few comments. And like, I don't know, 2-3 minutes into it, she goes, okay, just forget it. That's enough. I'm not, and I'm like, what are you talking about? Keep telling me what you think. She goes, no, the look on your face is like, go fuck yourself. I'm not interested in what you have to say. And I was like, no, you know, and then of course, you know, I raised my voice. No, that's not what it is, right? Just compounds it even more. And so then we went and we took out the videotape. That tells you how long ago it was. We took out the videotape and I watched myself. And I look like you just killed my firstborn when I'm listening, but I couldn't see it at all. All the people that dated my daughters, you know, used to say to me, I had those beady eyes. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You know, and it's hard to see ourselves, you know, to hear ourselves. And even when being ourselves, we have to be mindful of the fact that people don't necessarily see us the same way as we see ourselves. You know, I have a tendency to raise my voice when I get excited. This thing yesterday really sort of reminded me of that and reminded me of how many people get misconstrued, how many people sort of are puzzled as to why someone reacts to them the way they are. So on the one side, if someone is talking to you like me, take a moment, do them a favor. Say, listen, I don't know if you mean to have that Darth Vader look on your face, but in the event that you don't, you've got it. And so maybe why everyone's kind of standing back about 20 feet from you, because they sort of think that. And I find this inconsistency of how we see ourselves and how others see us physically all over the place, right? And I often see it when people are referencing someone else. They stand up. Oh, she's there. And so, you know, in the state of confusion that the whole world is in, let's cut everybody a little bit of slack, right? And let's ask the question. If the guy goes, there's nothing wrong with me. Okay, well then you know that he was accurately portraying themselves. But it's about communicating the correct message, right? And if the message is mixed, and as in it pisses you off, nobody cares about the content of the message. It's the delivery. You know, it's the delivery that supersedes the message. At the end of the day, as I always advocate, you know, it's our responsibility. So if you're one of those people that, you know, see people like that, do them a favor. Like just help them out and sort of say, hey, listen, just like if this is how you're planning on coming across, then congratulations, you're successfully doing it. But if you're not, you might want to think, you know, about your audience a little more, not change who you are, but think about your delivery, right? Think about your delivery. And conversely, if you're not getting resonance with your message, you're either delivering it to the wrong person and they're never going to get the resonance with it, or else you need to think about how to do it differently. As everybody knows, I have 6 kids. I don't talk to all 6 kids the same way. At the core, it's the same message, but you know, someone I got hit with a 2x4. Okay, don't call children's aid society, it's a metaphor. And some of them I have to kind of sneak up on and quietly, you know, crawl along the ground and worry about landmines as I sort of get there. But at the end of the day, it's up to me to be able to figure out which one that is. I don't change me, who I am, my core, but I respectfully recognize who they are and that their listening patterns are different than mine.
Jim, I have a follow-up question for you.
All right.
So given that on this podcast, you often tell people to stand up for themselves, and obviously now we're talking about how there's a level of care that you have to take in terms of how you approach something. So do you have any tips on figuring out, you know, if you want to talk to somebody about something that you need to stand up for yourself for, how do you figure out, you know, what their capacity is to absorb that information or the best way to approach them? Do you, if you have to treat everybody a little bit differently, given that everybody is their own unique self, how do you kind of figure out the best way to approach them?
So to me, and I'll just use myself example, I coach all kinds of people. Some people can take it right between the eye. I can look them straight in the face and say, you're fucked. You know, you're doing the wrong things. If you continue to do wrong things, you're going to get fired. There are other people that I need to walk to the barn a little differently, bring them along, get them going. But at the end of the day, I am consistent in who I am. It's just recognizing that in some cases I can go direct from A to B, but other cases I need to go on a circuitous route. And in standing up for yourself, it's the same thing. If it's someone that you're afraid of and it's difficult, you should, as I've said to people, you should lead with, this is a very difficult conversation for me to have. I'm actually afraid to have this conversation, right? I'm a big elephant in the room fan. There's an elephant in everybody's room, probably more than one. You have to address the elephant in the room because that sort of levels off the playing field, right? It lets the other person know that this is your big concern. But what I'm not trying to say is that you are different. What I am trying to say is you are respectful of the individual and you are aware of the situation that may require a different approach, but the content is always the same. Hopefully that answers it. So I do have a bone to pick. It's just driving me crazy. Hypocrisy, that's what it is. Hypocrisy. I think we've reached a, I don't know if you can reach a new level. It just seems to me in the world that we're in a constant world of hypocrisy. You know, these poor children get murdered and people in supermarkets or at church or whatever it is. And then someone's going to kill one of the Supreme Court guys. And Mitch McConnell says, I think we need security for the Senate and the better security in the Senate and the Congress. No shit. What about the rest of the people, right? But the hypocrisy of that, of like just sort of missing the point that, you know, it's about me, right? It's now it's about me. And it's not about all of you people that are I'm supposed to be serving. And, you know, it just strikes me that hypocrisy is rampant, but it's selective in what people and the vitriol that's coming out from people. It's just unbelievable. This sanctimonious bullshit. And I'm really worried about it because it just, it's permeating our society. It's, we lose track of what's okay and what's not okay. There's this desire, and maybe it's drawn out of the political world that we're in, where there is no right and wrong. There's my view and your view is wrong. You're wrong. It doesn't matter what you have to say. You're wrong. And this divide, and then this violence that is coming out of it. And I want to sort of circle back to the beginning, which is, you know, this taking care of ourselves, right? And I know it sounds like I'm excited about it and angry about it, but I'm not angry about it. I'm just disappointed in the whole situation. But I find myself having to sort of peel back and go, okay, you know, like that's what it is. So take a moment. What's the hypocrisy in your life? Little, big. What's the hypocrisy around you within your world? Some people would say, you know, organizations are disingenuous at heart and they have a certain amount of hypocrisy and they say, this is what it is, but then we change our minds and it no longer is this because it doesn't suit us or serve us well. What is that hypocrisy around us? And can you do anything about it? I know within my own life, I may have told this story before, but I grew up in an immigrant family and I spent my entire life lying to my mother about everything that I did. And people will probably say, yeah, big deal. So did I wasn't an immigrant family. But I did. I lied about everything. I lied where I went. I lied when I went. I lied about everything. And the reason I lied about everything, because it was a lot easier than telling the truth. And telling the truth would get me penalized, would get me this, would get me, you know, looked down upon. And then when I had kids, I promised myself that I was not going to be a hypocrite. And I can't say I did it 100% of the time, but I would say 90% of the time. I didn't pretend that I didn't underage drink. I didn't pretend that I hadn't smoked pot. And I didn't pretend, you know, all of these things. And then sort of, oh my God, you know, you can't be drinking. And I trusted them. I trusted them that if I told them the truth, they'd be okay. Maybe somehow it demystified it. And, you know, not wanting to be a hypocrite makes for some difficult conversations, things you don't want to hear, right? But I did. And I've tried to stay to that. And I think, as I said before, you know, my kids didn't have a curfew because I would lie about the curfew when I was a kid. Oh, my watch broke, or, you know, the bus couldn't get the bus. And, you know, this long for Uber and who had money for taxis and stuff like that. And I think at the end of the day, and I think my kids would tell you this, that it was a less stressful life than having to lie. But what was interesting is, even though they didn't have to lie, occasionally they would, because they didn't trust that they didn't have to lie, which I would always say to them, you're missing the point. I'm more angry at you for lying than I am for what you did. Like, if you did something stupid, you did something stupid. But I guess I'm the anti-parent. Because I know when my kids were growing up, people were like, you can't be like that. You know, you got to have a curfew. Kids need, you know, this and this and this. And so anyways, they've seemed to have turned out pretty well across the board, happy, in good relationships. But Hypocrisy is a very, very dangerous thing because it doesn't tell people where you really stand. If you're what you say and who you are so diametrically opposed from each other, it makes it hard to really know who you are. And if it makes it hard to know who you really are, it makes it hard to know who to trust. And the closer those two are together, who you are and what you say, the more likely people will trust you and the more likely people will look favorably upon you. The further those two apart are, that's when you find most narcissists. The good people have to be keeping an eye out for those people because they're not good for your life. You need to find more and more people. You need to find more and more companies. You need to find more and more managers that are more closely aligned with those two things. And the last thing I want to say, my daughter just went off to the UK to visit my other daughter, and my daughter went back to Dallas to catch a class, and my son's gone here, my son's gone there. And I have to say to you, it's the first time that in my mind, I don't feel anybody's safe wherever they are. And so just be mindful of your surroundings and be mindful of what's going on, because I think one thing and one thing only that we know for sure is this lunacy can strike anyone, anywhere, at any time. It's incumbent upon us to be aware of our surroundings. And if something makes us uncomfortable, say something, do something, leave the area. Because who would have thought that schools for little kids were no longer safe? Who would have thought the churches were no longer safe? Who would have thought going to the supermarket was no longer safe? We're in a very, very strange world. And it's time to keep your eyes open and your ears listening to what's going on. I'm Jim Bakiai. The podcast is Be You, The World Will Adjust.
Well, the only person talking about love, man, brother, is the preacher. And it seems nobody's interested in learning but the teacher.